You'll find the reading tonight in the book of Psalm 104, verse 31. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege to be a part of this meeting. And I have been here many, many years and many times, and God has overwhelmed us and done things that you can't describe. I like to be in a service when someone asks you what happened, and all you can reply is, I don't know. But it's blessed when the people of God come together, and I do appreciate your presence on this Friday night. It is a little cooler than August, and we're grateful for that. And I certainly do appreciate this place and all the men of God that have preached in this place even this week, and I'm sure that you've heard wonderful things from the Word of God, from God's men. Appreciate all these dear preachers tonight and their faithfulness to the Lord, the wonderful psalms that have magnified our Savior. Psalm 104, verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Let's bow our heads again, please, as we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight, ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that is displeasing in thy sight, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the mercies of it. We do thank you for this camp meeting and for its testimony for Christ throughout all these years. Thank you for these dear men of God that are here tonight. And I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. We do thank you, Lord, for the wonderful songs that have lifted up our hearts in praise to you. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant with that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. And may the word of God go forth in its power. Should there be any among us tonight who are strangers to your grace, I pray that this shall be the hour of salvation. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer and soon coming King, I humbly pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight, especially as we look at verse 34 from these verses that I've read. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I'm so glad that I have the privilege to be one of His servants and to be one of His children. I thought as we sang that first song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, there the burden of my heart rolled away. I think that the first time that I ever really got under conviction, I was just maybe 8 years old. I was saved at the age of 9, but my home church was having a tent revival in our community. And I rode my bicycle, sit behind the bushes, and I heard that song, at the cross. And that was something that moved in my heart that I never felt before. And I found out later that it was the Holy Ghost, that He brought conviction and brought conversion. I will meditate on the Lord. I will meditate of Him. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. We need to tell of the greatness of God. We need to sing of the greatness of God. Some have the idea, I think, that salvation is just for old people who are on the steep decline down to the grave. And of course, it's for little children. And I remind you that salvation is of the Lord. It is for every age. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit of God has shed the love of God abroad in my heart. And if you knew my Savior, you would be glad and rejoice as many of you do tonight. It is unspeakable. It is joy that is full of glory. Now, of course, my body can't move as it used to. But I want to tell you that there's still something in my heart. There's an inner man who lives on the inside. The outward man is perishing. There's a new man on the inside, and he's getting stronger every day. And the only thing that keeps me from heaven is this body. I look for the coming of the Lord. But if I do not live unto that moment when he shall come, good news. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. I will be glad in the Lord. I will rejoice in him. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved. Saved by the blood of Christ. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. If you've ever been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you know that your name is registered in the book of life, your meditation of him will be sweet. My mind cannot even begin to comprehend the infinite of our God, the transcendent God, who had no beginning, who has no past, who has no future. God is. In the beginning, God. Without an introduction. In the beginning, Genesis 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. In the beginning, God. I just can't comprehend that. Go back trillions of years, and there's God. Go into eternity future, and there is God. I think that eternity can be described as a circle. And in that circle is a small period of time that we live. But one day that circle will close, and we're going to be in eternity, either saved or lost. What a terrible thing to die without Christ in your heart. Forever be separated from God. Oh, how wonderful to know that when you leave this body, that you shall see Christ in all his glory. Our God's an omnipotent God, omniscient, omnipresent. I read a fable some time ago about an atheist who said to God, I can make man. God said, do it. And then the atheist came back and said, where's the dirt? God said, make your own. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What a wonderful thought that is. Job 26:7 says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Preaching the Bible is like jumping into an infinite ocean. A wonderful, astounding truths that are wonderful and glorious. If the Lord is pleased, 2 weeks from this week, about the second week of May, I had the opportunity, first time, to preach the gospel 65 years ago. And I thought that first time, what on earth should I preach? And when I preached the first revival at the age of 12, my home church, I started on Sunday morning, preached every night through Saturday, and then the next Sunday morning. And Sunday night, that's a lot of preaching when you're just beginning. And I wondered, what shall I preach? After all these years, I'm still finding new truths. I'm still amazed. I still stand in awe at the majesty and the glory of God. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to know God and to preach His Word and to be able to rejoice in His Word and sing and testify of His greatness. Now, church services should always be to worship. Brethren and sisters too, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You're not here tonight. You didn't come under this tabernacle just to see me or to hear me. But we came to hear from heaven a word from the Lord. And that's, as Brother Jarvis was saying, that is what we're asking for. For God to move. For God to be pleased to send a spiritual awakening. This day is dark. This day is a black day. And our nation is under great attack. But I can't still rejoice tonight because my meditation of Him is sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. And just to be honest with you, I can't take but 5 or 10 minutes of the news. And I always watch it before I go out and walk. It makes me walk faster. Lord, I think of God. My heart is full of joy. My heart is calm because blessed be the Lord. His name shall endure forever. One day God will put everything in order that is out of order, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My meditation of Him is sweet. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that is His Word and that His name. John, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God gave His Son. Now I think that somehow the idea that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and paid our sin debt, that somehow God the Son had to convince God the Father to receive us and to save us. But the truth is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why He came. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, who robed Himself in the universe, sat at His feet with the stars, walked down the stairway of heaven in Bethlehem's barn, took upon Him the body of flesh, lived in that body 33 years, and took that body and nailed to the cross and was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Salvation is of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. One in three. I can't explain it. But I'm so glad that my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I had the privilege on several occasions, I've probably told you, to visit the home of John Knox in Edinburgh, Scotland. His house is located just between the Holyrood Palace and between the castle, which is called the Royal Mile, the Edinburgh Castle. And then the home of John Knox in the middle, Holyrood Palace at the end, and it's called the Royal Mile. But I visited the very room where John Knox died. And when John Knox lay dying, he said to his wife, "Bring me the book. Read me the verse that brought me to Christ." And she read to him from John 17:3. "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." God the Father. My meditation shall be of Him. And then when I think about Him, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit. I can tell you about His operation in my heart. How He convicted me. How He convinced me. And how that He brought me to the feet of Jesus. Now, if I had to tell you, repeat the words that I said that night when the Lord saved me, I could not do it if my life depended on it. But I knew two things. Number one, that I was a sinner, and that Christ is the only Savior. And by faith, I looked to Him, God the Holy Spirit, who brought us, who quickened us, while we were dead in trespasses and sin. I could tell you how the Holy Ghost has encouraged me and cheered my heart many times. Makes no difference where I am. I enjoy the presence of the trio, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If my body's lying on a surgeon's table, the Holy Ghost is there, and the Father's there, and the Son is there. If I'm facing some great trial, the trio is there. The trio gives me songs in the night season and all the day long. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. You remember that Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, came to the home, the house of Bethuel, and found Rebekah. And the question was asked to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I imagine as they travel through the desert, long, dark, cold nights, and Rebekah would hear a lion roar, a bear growl, and say to herself, I'll never see the plains of Mamre. I'll be devoured by some wild animal. The next morning, the sun would be hot, and I'm sure she rode that camel that she would sometimes stop, say, let me off. I'll never see Isaac. I'll never make it. But the Eliezer, that old servant, I can see him get some jewels out of the bag and say, these came from Isaac. These came from the bridegroom. And Rebekah would say, put me back on that camel. I feel like traveling on. And one day they came through the Lash Valley, went up to the Lash Mountain. And Rebekah said, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And that old servant said, that's him. That's my master. Someday faith will end in sight when we shall behold him. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. But my meditation is not only the Father and the Holy Ghost, but the object of my meditation is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There are those, I fear, that attend church. And the best part to many people, I fear, is the benediction. There are those that attend the church for the swaying music and verses repeated over and over and the bright lights. There are those, I fear, that go just to hear about the latest current events. But thank God there are those who go to worship God, who go to hear more about Jesus. And as the psalmist said in the 34th verse in the chapter, in the 8th verse, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. That's why we can say goodbye to the dearest on earth and yet be assured of our Lord's presence, who said, I am the resurrection. He is the resurrection of life. He is our assurance in great trials. I'm talking about the Lord's people. Amen. Those that are saved by His grace. Yes. Our meditation on Him is sweet. Yes. You can't praise Him too much. No, 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 don't worry about overdoing it. No, no. It is impossible. What an amazing thing. The songs that I heard many years ago, 68 years ago, before, when I hear them even tonight, they still cause the joy bells of my heart to ring. When God's man opens this blessed book, there's a hunger and there's a thirst for God. More, 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 more about Jesus. We can't love Him too much. I fear we love Him too little sometimes. And sometimes I'm ashamed when my heart feels cold. And it feels like that God is a million miles away. But then there are times when suddenly it's just like He pours a bucket of liquid love out in my heart. And I'm overwhelmed by His presence. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. As I've said, I don't think I'll ever forget the day God saved me. Or that blessed night in April. But if I get some terrible disease and do forget, it won't matter. The foundation of God stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I know my sheep, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. My meditation of Him is sweet. Jesus Christ, the resurrection, in the great trials, sometimes reveals Himself in a special way. It's almost too sacred to talk about. And please forgive me for all these personal experiences. I guess I'm just getting old. And I think about a lot of things. When I was 11 years old, the year before I started preaching, I had Bright's disease. I was in the hospital for 9 weeks. And the doctor literally sent me home to die. But I didn't die. Here I am tonight. By the grace of God, Grover Cleveland, President of the United States, died of Bright's disease just a few months after he left office. Theodore Roosevelt's wife died of Bright's disease. Woodrow Wilson's wife died of Bright's disease. But Larry Winkler is still here tonight because of his grace and because he's given me the holy privilege to testify of Him. Amen. And to preach about Him. Amen. I love to talk about Him. I love to tell Him. I love to tell what Christ has done in my heart. It's wonderful. It's glorious. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I fear that most of us as Christians live far below our birthright. If the Holy Ghost lives within you, let Him work in you. Let Him work. And let Him use you. Yes. Preachers, preach the word in the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. I fear that there are some preachers, if they were charged of PUI, preaching under the influence, they would not be found guilty. We're helpless. We're powerless without Him. Those in the pews, in these seats, pray for the preacher that he'll preach beyond himself. We that are saved can rejoice evermore. Let Christ be the object of your affection. I'm so glad that my meditation of Him is sweet. He's not just a historical figure that lived 21 years ago. He still lives. He's at the right hand of God. The outcome of my meditation is I'm saved by His power. Raised to new life sublime. Life now is sweet. And my joy is complete. For I'm saved. 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 My meditation of Him shall be sweet. He is relevant in every age. He is declared Alpha and Omega. In Revelation 1:18. He is relevant for every race. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. In Mark 16:15, Christ commissioned His disciples to go to the world, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them and teaching them. In every age, in every need, Christ is the answer. As I've said, we cannot exaggerate the darkness of this day, but it's still true. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. I've often thought, as I've read about martyrs and who gave their life for Christ, some were burned in the fires, some were beheaded on guillotines, and even today there's such an anti-Christian attitude in our nation. It's unbelievable. But my meditation of Him is sweet. He will return one day in clouds of glory. Maybe tonight. Maybe before I get the next word out. Oh, wonderful thought. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Glorious day we shall behold Him in all of His glory. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of heaven. Hope of earth. And joy of heaven. I feel as the psalmist felt in the 45th chapter. In verse 1. My heart is indicted in a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Savior. Sweetest note in cherub song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest call ever sung. Jesus. Blessed Jesus. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one in heaven who intercedes for me. He won't ever get old. He won't ever get senile. He won't ever get His orders crossed up. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Jude verses 24 and 25 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we have. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I read some time ago, Charles Spurgeon visited the orphanage, the Stockwell Orphanage. And he the next Sunday, he mentioned this young boy in his sermon. And when he visited that young boy, that young lad said, Mr. Spurgeon, I shall soon die. And when I think I'm going to die, as I often do at night, I clap my hands at the thought of being home with Jesus. Mr. Spurgeon said he could hardly lift those little thin hands, but he clapped them with holy joy at the thought of seeing Christ. And I can say tonight, even at this stage of life, ever since my faith, I saw the stream. The demon love has been my thing and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing Thy power to save.